This recording is a production of Anabaptist Financial. More recordings are available on our website at www.afweb.org under the Resources menu or by calling 800-653-9817. This presentation was recorded at a Deacon and Trustees Seminar held on August 4, 2026 in Goshen, Indiana.
Good evening, fellow men. I want to greet you in the name of Jesus, same as my friends and brethren did. It was good to be here. There was a lot of food for thought, a lot of reference that I sought and checked out for my topic. You heard already. But this whole system is sort of funneled to one thing, so naturally, I guess, the topics are somewhat related. So, first of all, I'm not here with no answers, and hopefully I can come across with God's help and your prayer. I'm here to help, that's all. We can talk about it, but to go home and live it is a different story. So, yeah, clock's ticking, so the proper response to prosperity, I'm the unlearned guy here tonight. I'm just a kindergarten compared to some of these other guys. Chris said something about standing up behind Richie, and he was scared, then he changed it to uncomfortable, but I am scared. So hopefully it's all okay. If I can do this in my language and you guys listen, all the glory of God. Wealth. Well, what's a different name? What's a different title for wealth? Prosperity. We're made and we're designed to give. And I like the way the other guys got across. We got to get in our head. Everything involved here tonight in our possessions is God's. And I agree with that. And that's going to be somewhat my topic. Another word or label for wealth, I think, is entitlement. Why do I pile it up? Why do I keep it back without feeling I'm entitled to this? I feel it's mine, and that's why I'm keeping it back. I don't know where I want to start. It's the bigger. The revenue, the bigger the wheel, the more that's coming in, the more money, the bigger the obligations, is my point, hopefully all night. The more that comes in, the more that goes out. I shared this before already, the Dead Sea, the Sea of Galilee, the Dead Sea hogs water. I had the number at home, how many gallons a day the Dead Sea hogs water and takes it in, doesn't have an outlet. Guess what? It's the Dead Sea. Not even fish live in it. It's dead. Nothing. The Sea of Galilee, different story. The same amount's coming in, goes out the other end. Fish, fresh water, flowers, and everything, it's alive because it's dispersing what was handed down. And that's what I want to do. That's what I should try and do if I say it right. Yeah, it's another topic I want to hit is I got a $300 screw gun. And I'm working, and at night the thing gets stolen. And on the way home, the guy that's doing the black market grinds off the serial number, grinds it off, and a week or so later, when the dust settles and the cops are not around, he takes it to the pawn shop. The pawn shop guy offers him $100. He knows what's going on, but he don't ask questions. Here he bought a good screw gun for $100 that I paid $300 for. He puts it on the shelf for $150. The screw gun did not use, is just as valuable and just as strong, brand name as it was when I had it. But now it's half price. Why? Because it's in the wrong hands. It's in the wrong hands. Why am I so stubborn, and why do I hesitate to pass on my money to put it ahead of me, send it on ahead to the guy that knows a lot better about it than I do? It was brought up, the poor widow with two mites. And the guys that put their abundance there, and I get the picture, them guys had a pile of money. It was their abundance. It wasn't alms and it wasn't tithing. It was their abundance. And here comes the widow, two little kids, nothing to eat, puts two mites in there. And why did that all of a sudden grow like this and this pile stay right here? It was genuine. Proverbs, what is it? It says the first fruits, first God's, first somebody else, not me. It's putting God and the neighbors and whoever in front of me. It doesn't matter if I got $100,000 or $100. As long as I keep people around me, as long as I do them first. If we're supposed to love God with all our heart, all our mind, and the neighbor, you know the story. If I love my neighbor the way I should, with genuine love, I make sure he always gets the best deal, always. Not 3-4 times, then it's my turn. Always, my neighbor gets the best deal if I love him. Proverbs says, yeah, the first fruits, first God, not wait till I got all my ducks in a row. I got my expensive horse, I got this, and I got this, and I got everything I want. Then I give the rest to God. Like Chris said, we want to be Christians. We want to go through life, and we want to do it on my terms. And it's not about me. It's not about me. One of the guys said something about where our heart is, where our treasure is, there's our heart. Am I satisfied on the road I'm on? Am I willing and man enough to stop, like the screen said, stop and look where I'm going on the road? Am I okay with where that road's going to take me? Am I okay with that? With, you know, going to church, being a good dad, being a good husband, being a good deacon, and all this. But every once in a while, I'm checking what's going on with my money. Is my God, is my Lord and Savior okay if I give him $50,000 and 2 weeks later, the stock market goes up 5 points? Is he okay with that? If I would have kept it on earth here in my bank account, it would have grew real fast. Where is it? Matthew, tail end of 19, I think. It says, if we don't deny father, mother, farm, sister, brother, and all that, I think it says 100-fold. He'll reimburse us 100-fold. And if I'm right, that's 10,000%. Where can we put it? Our money, that's safer than taking it on up and centered ahead of us. Where we want our treasures? Where's my citizenship? If I pass it on ahead, I'm comfortable, and your moderation and my moderation might not be the same thing. But if I send it on ahead to the dear Lord, my Savior, Iran, the war, the missiles, and the technology, I'm amazed, and I'm too nosy of that. What I read, the missiles, they fire up and they hit each other in the air, the technology they got and the things they can blow up in 5 seconds. If I send my money ahead, who and what's going to blow it away? Who's going to crawl up and get it? Who's going to rob it? Who's going to get it? Genuine alms, genuine tithing, the minute I give it to God, it's touch with immorality. Think about it. It will never go away. If I do it out of love, if and I do it for the next guy's betterment, a half cup of cold water, he notices that. It will not go away, guys. Why? Why do I want to pile it up here? And it's going to rust and it's going to rot. I don't know how my passing's going to be. Let's say I get cancer and I get down to the last 2 weeks. And I'm not saying that's wrong. But here I'm facing death and I'm facing eternity. So I start chucking away. I tell my wife, hey, this and this and this, do this. I tell my little son, you do this and this and this. I can put it away. Is that last chance? Is that a good chance or is it the last chance? Heaven point of view, I don't have a chance. I'm dying. I don't want it. Heaven point of view, my last chance, I chuck it away. Heaven point of view, what for sacrifice is that? Is the good Lord up there and really going, really? Now I'm healthy, and now it's choices. And I'm not saying it's wrong to dish it out on my deathbed. I'm not saying that's wrong. But really, you get my point? When I don't have no choice, I'm willing to dash it away because I see it's not going to do me any good. The minute I die, my personal desk turns to a wastebasket. I know we buy tillers, we buy a skid, we buy a mower, we put owner's manuals in. We got some stuff in there. But really think about it. Our earthly desk turns to a wastebasket the second I die. The undertaker's going to come probably an hour and a half after I die, and he's going to sit there 45, 50 minutes and talk to my wife and the kids, and not once is he going to look at the desk. And he doesn't even want to look in there. I forget the guy's name. He was on the Titanic. This was in the early 1900s, and think about it. In his treasure chest, he had $300,000 worth of jewelry, knickknacks, and whatever. $300,000. The day and the hour came where that same man was seen grabbing three oranges. Three oranges had more value to that guy than the $300,000. Was the $300,000 just there and it plunked in the ocean, or did it literally laugh in his face? It mocked him. It really did. It was against him. Don't get me wrong. He had a chance. We all know that. I don't want to get too fired up and too judgmental, but what I'm really saying is the stuff that's staying here and going to rust and rot away, if I don't get it passed on ahead, it's going to mock me. It's really sort of something. Back to the pawn shop. I got a few little notes. And another thing, if I do have $50,000, everything's paid, I got the $50,000, and if I buy a $15,000 horse, that's worth $9,500, just because I paid $15,000 does not put the value on the horse up. It's what's worth to me, whatever I got, my house, my home, land, whatever it is. Whatever's worth the value and it helps me to eternal life, that's where the value goes up. If we could put and tie eternity to it. Just because I had a fat checkbook and I paid that extra money just for the chrome. Chrome reminds me, if I send my money ahead as I should, it's a shelter for me. It's a shelter. Same as the guidelines of church, it's a shoulder. And if I don't do it centered ahead, it's a showroom. And the showroom will stay right here. The glitz and the glamour. Jesus stood at and looked at the temple and he said, there's not one stone going to be on top of the other. It's a shoulder or a showroom, guys. And it's entitlement if I put it for my own use. Yeah, just some thoughts. Like I said, we're made here. We're made and designed to give. And a couple guys brought up the rich young ruler, the cocky guy, had all his ducks in a row. You know what? Jesus, our Savior, did not come for the people that got their ducks in a row. We heard about being broken and helping each other out. God sent Jesus for the guys that are in need, and that's it. He's not shoving nothing down anybody's throat. It's our choices. It's our choice. I lost my train of thought. Oh, yeah, the young ruler. Okay, God was right in front of him, and he loved him. He had all this. He was trying to almost, wheeling and a dealing his way in. He was trying to buy his way in. And the Lord Jesus, our Savior, looked him right down his soul, and he knew that he needed to do something. So he said, sell everything you got. And the price was too big. He chose. He could have been a child instantly. And what did he choose? He chose to stay a slave. Rather than being a child, he chose to be a slave. Because the price was too much. The guy, 45 years old, made his first million. He gets out of bed 3:30 in the morning, and he's still wide open. He's going for that second million. He knows he should read a story with his wife, with his kids. He doesn't. He's too busy. He keeps hammering away. He's really going for that second million. And he neglects things in church and whatever to hit the second million. And he gets to the second million. Now he's got the second million. In that time span, do we think the good Lord did not give him a chance to pass out some money? More than he really did. If we look life through the eyes of Jesus, we're looking for the opportunities in a quiet, tight spots. We're looking for the opportunity. If we look life through Jesus' eyes, I'm far from Jesus, don't get me wrong, but I'm saying we're looking for opportunities to give it away so it doesn't nail us, so we don't get zapped. It's staying. There's a lot of people, if I could remember things, a lot of people seeing some gross things in their lives. Pretty blunt, pretty gross. Vietnam War veterans, people getting blown up, people being in accidents, seeing some gross things. Had a sister down the road reaching in fire to get her little baby out of fire. She didn't care about the fire. She knew the pain. She knew the danger. She loved her little kids, so she picked them up. But days are coming. There's a day and a time of coming where I'm going to stand before my Lord and Savior, and it's going to be right or left. And nobody in this room had it somebody head on with that that's that blunt. We got hope. I don't want to narrow it down that hard. But I'm saying we have, on this side of the grave, we don't meet things as that blunt. But standing before the Lord, and it's going to hit us, it's going to be right or it's going to be left. And that's it. That's it. And how have I treated my neighbor? How have I treated my neighbor? What's my attitude? It's not a sin, and it's not bad to see the bottom of your pocket. If I'm scraping the bottom, and I got a horse, I got a feed bill, I got a payment, and everything's got to click to make it here. I'm 28 years old, I bought a place, and I'm going along. But if somebody in the neighborhood is in need, who's first? Who's first? All in moderation. All in moderation. I stand to be corrected. In northern Indiana, all the blessings we got, we heard where we stand compared to the rest of the world. All these blessings we call blessings. Is it a blessing or is it a test? Let's really analyze that. Is it really a blessing? Or is it a test? Do we read? Do we read in history? I like history. Do we read in encyclopedia, in the Bible, in all kinds of library books? Do we read of a set of folks, a community that stood to prosperity? Russian Mennonites, and you name whatever. But there is a set of people just like us. Is there anywhere in history that a community stood against prosperity? History learns me that if Daniel is in jail and he's told tomorrow morning, buddy, if you don't give up your faith, we're going to take you to the stake and we're going to behead you, and I am in prosperity, history learns me there's bigger chance that he's going to he's going to fulfill his faith rather than me. Sort of scary. There's a bigger chance that I'm going to hang to my faith at stake and fire and pain versus prosperity. Peer pressure on all this. That's not doom and gloom. That's a fact. I got to keep that in my mind. Wisdom, knowledge, technology, smartphones and all this. How can we raise the wisdom bar higher than the guy that keeps death and eternity right in front of him? He's focused. Who's going to be smarter and wiser than that very man? I go down the road and I pass a place. There's nice fence, there's paint, there's, you know, shrubs, there's a pond, whatever. 2 miles down the road, I go past another place. Fence is sagging, paint is peeling, and the windows need replaced and all this. What's my attitude? What do I think of this guy and what do I think of this guy? And this guy might put $10, give $10 to the deacon, And this guy might put $1,500 to the deacon, but really, if his is genuine, what will the good Lord do with this versus this? When I go down the road and I, here's another variety. You, what is my, when I pass somebody's house, when is somebody successful? If I label you successful, what's on the table? What's on the table? Do we really want to take inventory? If I label this guy, he's a successful man, what's on the table? What am I measuring? What am I measuring with? What's on the table? Is it eternal? Is it going to stay? Yeah. Just some things to think about. yeah, the things we met, 1 Corinthians 16:2 is another good one about money. A backpack full of nice things. What's wrong with that? I'm talking expensive horses, the extra farm, the hunts. And I don't, I'm across the board. I just don't want to, you know, zero down on any guys. A backpack full of things, nice things, what's wrong with that? But is it necessary? Is it necessary? Pilgrims travel light. If I'm focused, I travel light. Am I really going to wait till the 11th hour, till death is in front of my eyes to start chucking away? What if I get smacked on the road? What's the chance of that happening? I was ordained deacon, and I don't forget the years. A couple years later, a guy sold his farm, older fella, nothing fancy. He didn't have a big farm. He was successful, but not like some other guys. He sold the farm. He had auction, whatever, moved to the small house. And I was by far young enough to be his son. Then one day we met, I think in a sale somewhere, and we were gazed around talking like this. We were just catching up with the lady. And all of a sudden he reached in his pocket and he gave me a folded together check. And we were kept on talking, and I sort of sensed, well, you know, this is probably goes in the alms bag in our church and whatever. And we were gazed around. Finally we kept on talking. All of a sudden I opened up this check and it got my attention. I seen the number, and we kept on, and, you know, I slowed down because I was so nervous. I finally asked him, what do you want me to do with this? And he goes, you're the deacon, you're ordained. Put it wherever you think there's a need. It was his money, and the blessing and the humility I got just because I handled it. I just handled it. God the glory. But I didn't have to ask him if this is the genuine stuff or not. It's really sort of something. Who's going to shoot it down? I'll ask you again. If we pass it on ahead, who's going to shoot it down? Compassion. We got a bunch of money, and if we got compassion, I got a little souvenir at home. If we got the compassion, we got the capacity. Compassion gives us the capacity to put love into action. If we got compassion, we go in gear in love. Compassion is action. And why, just like Marlon shared, why do I wait a lot of times till everything's just right before I step forward and help somebody? Everything's just got to be right or whatever. Back to the daughter in my church that sold his farm, gave me that check. Why didn't he? Was he tempted to maybe send it in the mail somewhere? Maybe somebody would have noticed his name and maybe he got a little honor. All his years he farmed, quiet, nobody, he was sort of quiet, back on the corner guy. He gave it to me. I deposited it in the church account and it erased. When it's God's money, it's not ours. It'll be eternal. It'll stay. It will stay. He wanted to serve. Selfishness closes the door to self to love, serve, and what's the other one? Give. Selfishness closes that door. If I'm looking out for me and me only, the other things won't happen. The good Lord wants our hearts. And where is he going to look for it? Where's the good Lord going to look for my heart? Exactly where my treasures are. exactly where my treasures are. Am I really, am I okay with putting it right on the screen where my treasures are? Am I okay with that? If we soul, like Chris said, if we search for the soul, and I'm not, hopefully I get across that I'm not running against anybody, towards anybody. I'm after the things that stay in here and don't get sapped. I'm after the thing, not the guys, if that makes sense. I got to check where I was. C.S. Lewis was an atheist, and he was converted to being a Christian. And I don't know a whole lot about him, but he once said, "We're very, way too easily pleased." $100,000. Wow. Man, we got this high, and we're feeling pretty good. And you know what? All reality is staying right here if we don't send it ahead. If we don't send it ahead. Oh, yeah, now I know what I wanted. This is, I hope this makes sense. Luke 15, the lost son or the lost two sons or whatever we want to call that, soul search. So if we love our neighbor, we're out and we're kicking in for his betterment. And that's first. If we're Christians, if we want to follow Jesus Christ's examples, we want to do for the neighbor for what his betterment. So the lost soul went cross land, spent dad's money, came back, and do we think he smelled good? Do we think he had whiskers? Do we think he was pleasant? Do we think he was handsome? Probably not. But what did dad do? Dad grabbed him. Dad didn't ask, "Where's the half of my money? You got $100 left? Where's that?" Dad had a soul love for his son. Was the wad blowing? Was it right? No, that's what I'm saying. But dad was concerned about his soul. There's a potential. There's a potential. No matter how big the mess, if we put enough love in the mess, it'll get cleaned up. Not from what we did, from what comes from above. You can buy the most powerful solar panel battery charger you want to, but that battery is going to die if it don't get sunshine from above. And that's exactly the way we are. We got to get fed from above. He's got to help us. Yeah, back to the poor widow. We pass up. The poor widow literally wanted a cup of flour. We can't imagine that. The picture I got for this setting is maybe she wanted a cup of flour and then maybe a little bit something else so she could have a little pancake or a little cake. And she put the two mites in there and went home. We pass up good things now. If I keep my neighbors first, I pass up good things now for better things later. The best is yet to come, and it's not about me. I just can't get away from what our Lord Savior did with those two mites versus the abundant pile. It's a difference, and it's a big difference. How many times do you see a millionaire walking around with a big smile? It's really sort of something to think about. Really sort of something to think about. Like I said, God wants our hearts. One of the guys hit 1 Timothy real good. 6-10, the love of money is the root of all evil. I like that. I like that. Very, very, there's no, I was going to say blessings. Very little blessings. There's almost no blessings in serving God and giving stuff away on my terms. In other words, when I have my stuff, what I want, then pass it on. It says the first fruits. Somebody else first. Peter, if we got the church articles, it says something about a royal priesthood. If we look up royal, it's kingly ancestors. That's what we are, guys. Kingly ancestors. Talking about focus, walk of life, our Savior, Jesus Christ, walked the walk, and he was so focused, he went down the street, and everything that hit him, yeah, the spit, and you know the whole story. But think about it. He had thousands of angels on his fingertips. How juicy is that? What would the story in this community be if one angel swooped in here for 30 seconds and we'd be all on the floor, he'd leave again. We'd all go home and it'd be the talk of the town for months. One angel. Our Savior had the chance, he had him on his fingertips, thousands of them, but he passed that on. He's seen the glitz and the glamour and the shiny part. He's seen that, but he kept right on going. Why? Because me and you were in that focus. And were we in a top-notch shape? It was even before we tried. It was unconditional. Can we imagine? Where was self? The amount of the sacrifice is what, the amount that I got left is what God looks more from what I give. Can we throw Dirk Williams in there? Dirk Williams example. That's not money involved, but going across the ice and making it. And he looks back and the guy goes down. He could have said, man, my prayers are answered. I'm going back to my family. I'm going to tell them, my good Lord and Savior, he saved me. It was legit. He literally saved me. And he could have, the list goes on and on. He passed that all up and went back and helped his brother. Was it somebody that encouraged him? If he needed a heart transplant, and if I go to the hospital and he's my best friend, and if I donate my heart for his betterment, that'd be a pretty good story, right? He's my friend, so I give my life for him. But give your life to the guy that's after your neck. Think about it. Dirk Williams. Why in communion don't we get tired of hearing the story of crucifixion? Why don't we get tired of hearing Dirk Williams stories? The amount of the sacrifice and how self was gone, completely gone. Focus. Yeah, a lot to think about. And again, back to where I started, there's nobody in this room that learned more from this topic than I did. Now, I like your prayers. I like to go home and live it up closer than I ever did. Yeah. Again, the proper response. How do I hand it off, or how easy? All you deacons, do your church a favor. And I'm not looking down on you if you ever did this. I'm not blaming nobody. But from now on, if you got extra money, never tell your church not to put in money in 2 weeks. Let it come. Find places to put it. That's your job. Where can your church get more security if the deacons, in his humble hands, in his heart, send it on ahead? We sit in council church, and I look over the congregation, I look at everyone, and I'm hoping everyone makes it. How can I give them more security? If they got that 20, take it. Thank him. Take it. Give God the glory and put it on ahead. I'm not chewing anybody out. If you do that, that's fine. But that's my advice from here on out. If you got money, put it somewhere. Put it somewhere. As you're led. I don't have a whole lot more. I got my scribblings here and I can't barely read anything. But again, let's think about the last, the Dead Sea as it hawks away and all that. The lost son again, child or slave. Is there anything else? Child or slave? So let's keep hammering away. We all do. We're here. I know we're doing better. Like I said, where's my citizenship? Am I okay where I'm going right now? It's not, like I said, it's not a sin or a bad thing to see the bottom of your pocket. If I got a pile of money right there, I start putting some faith in that and some trust and entitlement, and I got this, and I'm going, and all of a sudden it crashes. Yeah, it's something. The difference of thought that I'm going to have if I'm young, full of life, and going through life versus the death in front of me. People that are on their deathbed, that's really something. And the older we get, the more of a glimpse we get, life is a vapor. Life is a vapor. My father-in-law lived there the last 3-4 years of his life, and I didn't do nothing big. Last 2-3 years, he couldn't walk the best. The last 6-8 months, he couldn't walk. I pushed him around. We pushed him around. We showered him. We cleaned him. And he was a jewel to take care of. God the glory, he was not hard to take care of. One thing he could not grasp. Over and over, he told me when I was showering him, he said, "How in the world did I get here so fast, so quick?" It's now. Guys, it's now. How much am I going to impress my Savior, my Lord and my Savior? How much am I going to impress him with the money I got to use tomorrow? And how much am I going to scare Satan with what I'm going to do tomorrow? It's today. It's today. It's today. So that's about all I got, guys. I got some more scribbles, but you guys had your cups were full long before I started. And yeah, I got some more little notes here, but I'm going to quit it. Yeah, I was going to say a little bit more about 1 Corinthians 16, but that's okay. Vanderbilt, Henry Ford, happier when he was a mechanic than when he was a millionaire. When he had grease under his fingernails, he was happier then, more content than when he was a millionaire. Vanderbilt said to take care of $2 million is enough to kill someone. It drives them nuts. It's all that care. Everything we buy, everything we got, horses, land, whatever we got, should be sought after, looked after, right? We don't mean to be wasteful. Everything I buy in my possessions, I better take care of. And how much of that time is going to turn into eternity? Or is it staying here? How much do I really want to owe? Because it's got to be looked after. It really does. I think I'm going to close with that. Have a good one. And I'll try and do likewise. And yeah, just pray for me that I just, like I said, these other guys got a lot more experience than I, but hopefully it was okay. I just did what I could. So hang in there and I'll try and do the same.